You're listening to episode 5 of the Mad Chatters podcast, October 29th, 2014.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast. My name is Derek, and I'm joined by my fellow hosts, Jeremy.
Jumbo.
And Matthew.
Hoop-dee-doo, hello!
That is right. A wonderful catchphrase. I wonder what genius came up with that.
I think that was you guys a couple weeks ago, and it was cut.
Oh, thanks for looping Jeremy into that, too, so I'm not the only idiot.
I'll take credit.
Okay.
I don't actually remember who thought it was.
One of these days, we're going to take all the cut bits and cut banter out that's on the cutting room floor and piece them together and put a too hot for the podcast out and let people hear all the good stuff they miss.
Mad Chatters unrated.
Except I'll probably get fired when it's all said and done.
And that Google reel will have to start now because all that old footage is gone. It's long gone.
There's no cutting room floor.
It's in the cloud somewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
Facebook owns it.
You can look for that, I guess. On this week's show, we're going to be talking all things Halloween. We're going to give you 5 things you can't miss during Halloween time at the park, so stay tuned for that. All right, guys, so 2 weeks ago, we broke, kind of, some crazy news on our podcast about the Maps Without the Hat.
You heard it here first.
That's right. Matt, why don't you tell us what's going on?
Well, as of, was it Friday afternoon?
Yes.
It's Friday afternoon, big press conference for Hollywood Studios, and the hat has been officially confirmed to be disappearing by early 2015.
That's right.
Fan information. Once again,
complete opposite reaction from Maelstrom leaving, but that's
genuinely surprised by people's reaction, though, how many people were upset about it on social media.
Now, look, you've got a lot of fans who maybe are not, let's see, real Disney fans. Ooh. And maybe people who maybe came on later, and that's how they know the studios, and they love that hat from their childhood or something stupid like that. So,
well, I did see someone tweeted that in the years that Hollywood Studio has been around, the hat has been there longer than it hasn't, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
and so I can see how that could be an iconic part of the park for some people. But that being said, goodbye hat.
I mean, 15 years or if you're 15 years old or younger, it's always been there at Walt Disney World.
I mean, it's always been there since my first trip.
Right, or that, yeah.
Yeah, but even I can appreciate that it doesn't, like, being put there had absolutely nothing to do with the theming of the park. It was just a big Disney icon that would look great over a pin shop.
Pins underneath, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well, and
how elaborate.
I want to say something that may not be popular amongst you two, but I'm going to say it anyways. I wouldn't mind seeing the hat relocated to a new area. Like, if they're going to open up something new, a new part of Hollywood Studios, put it there.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's all in the location, and then it's just like landmark. It's like just blocking the whole view there. That's all my problem with it from the get-go.
That's my biggest complaint, because when I see the old pictures of the theater there at the end of the, it just looks gorgeous.
Well, it's quite nice. I mean, it's a nice structure. It looks pretty at night. It's just where it is and what it's doing is just too much.
Well, it's Hollywood Boulevard and all the storefronts, and then the Great Movie Ride facade. It all fits Hollywood Boulevard, but then right in the middle, just like back in the 1920s of Hollywood, they have that giant ass. If it's okay, I wanted to read a few tweets that I saw that kind of made me laugh. Turkey Leg Jeff said, "I actually don't hate the sorcerer's hat. I just prefer the view without it," which I think a lot of people would agree with.
Hashtag truth.
Yeah, the one Jeremy and I liked was, I love how reaction to the sorcerers... No, wait, hold on, that's not it. So today we learned that DHS is losing the Legend of Jack Sparrow and the Big Hat. The park is getting better just by elimination.
Yeah.
It is kind of true. Like, they're losing things left and right.
Have you both seen well, we'll get to that in a minute. The Legend of Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, sorry, Go ahead. I just kind of spoiled the next news bit.
Oh, no, it's gone, too. I mean, yeah. That's the news.
No, I have been there since it was there, but I've never seen it.
It's got two more weeks. It closes on November 6th.
I saw it once, and that was more than enough.
Yeah.
And I'm really upset because I saw it right after it opened, so there was like a 20-minute wait, and I am so upset that I wasted 20 minutes of my life.
It's like the height of asininity.
It reminds me so much of that terrible, terrible show.
Poseidon's Fury.
Yes! That it's so bad that I love, except I don't love Captain Jack. I love Poseidon's Fury for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
I do not love Captain Jack because it is just so poorly done. I remember, like, you walk in and there's, like, sets, but it's not like... You still see, like, the ceiling and, like, the open space, and so it's not even, like, well done. It looks almost
The only time I did it was last year, and nobody participated. It was awful. It was so awkward.
Participated how?
Like, well, you know how you've got to, like, whatever, stomp. You stomp at one point. Everybody's got to stomp the mermaids away or something like that. Everybody's stomping or saying... And nobody was doing it, and the cast member was like, come on, stomp, everybody! And nobody's stomping. It's like, just stop. Just end it.
Well, and if I remember, of course I remember, it's been a while since I've been there, but don't you walk into, like, the first room, and there's, like, a little pre-show thing?
I don't remember.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe I'm just thinking of...
I think it was just a holding room or something.
Okay, but, the main room is, like, where all this action takes place, and I had the wrong idea about it, I guess. I thought we were going to keep moving to different locations, and so we're in that one room, and all this stuff is happening, and then... That was the end, and they're like, thank you for listening, goodbye.
Now, there's two things. It was either intended just to be a complete people eater back there on next to Toy Story Mania and all those things, or they were like just testing, I don't know, the believability of environmental projection and if people responded to that as well as other things. I don't know what the purpose of it was, but I'm glad it's gone leaving.
When you see the projection there and you compare that to the projection in Alice in Wonderland at Disneyland, they are worlds apart. Jack Sparrow was not believable at all. It was terrible, and I'm glad to see it go.
Yeah, y'all are making me so sad I didn't see it. Man, I tell you. But, I mean, you think of that and then the hat and then the backlot tour and American Idol all being gone in the last few months. And they still haven't really announced any additions, but you know they're coming.
They gotta be.
You know?
Did you see the one person, I wish I knew who it was that tweeted it so we could credit them. If you're out there and you're listening, send it in. The person that had the picture of Clark Griswold punching Marty the Moose in the face. You know, not Christmas Vacation, but the vacation where they show up and Wally World's closed. And he punches Morty or Marty? Marty Moose. In the face, because he's staying there closed. They had that picture up and said, this is what I'm going to do the next time at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Because basically, 75% of the park is now going to be closed.
It's crazy.
All you have really is Toy Story Mania, Indiana Jones, Star Tours, Muppets, Tower Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster.
It wasn't that much to do in the get-go. But
Mermaid.
Don't forget about Lights, Motors, Action. You can see that to your heart's content.
Hopefully this all means a massive park reimagination.
I think it has to be. I think it has to be. Especially with the hat leaving, because for that to be a park icon and for it to go, to me, makes it seem like they're changing the direction the park is going in and the hat wouldn't fit anymore.
I have a great idea that just came to me and that I would like to send out to the Disney universe there, and maybe Bob Iger, somebody's listening, and they'll pick it up. I think for a way to make some money is when they announce the closure of Lights, Motors, Action, sell hammers for like $50 each and allow people to buy the hammer and come on the last day after the last show and get to just tear that thing apart with their hammer. Just go to town bashing the sets, bashing the cars, bashing everything. Tear that thing down. There would be thousands that show up for that.
Like the Berlin Wall.
Like the Berlin.
Tear down that set.
And then on top of that, they can take the little pieces, like what they do a lot, and sell them in pins for the Lights, Motors, Action pin set.
burn it all.
It would take forever. There are so many bleachers in that stadium, and three-fourths of them don't get used. They built the biggest stadium I've ever seen at a park.
And it's like phantasmic over there.
Seriously. Totally unnecessary.
Yeah, they could just... That's a good idea. Move the bleachers to the other side for phantasmic for more viewing there.
Actually, it seems like that one's going to stay around for a while because... Yeah. Figured they would have announced the closing of that, unless they're going to do it in phases, which is completely possible.
Well, my thought is if they're going to do a big haul, though, in that back area, all the way including Backlot Tour and into the Star Wars area, the Lights Motors action is kind of in the way right there. So sure. They would have to close it if they're going to do a big Star Wars expansion, you would think, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I know how you guys feel about Jim Hill. The person who has lots of rumors to spread, but very few of them come true.
For a guy in Connecticut, he's very connected to the Disney company.
Yeah, well, a tweet I saw today, it said something about maybe the hat leaving is hope that the Great Movie Ride will skyrocket and they'll actually put some money into that attraction since now it'll be what you see when you first walk in. And then today I saw that Jim Hill said at some event in New York City today that the first trackless ride that will be coming to America, because a lot of Disney parks overseas have trackless rides, will be the Great Movie Ride. So, I don't know. Do with that what you will. But it does make sense that they would want to put some money into Great Movie Ride now that it's going to be your focus walking in.
So, is this even talked about? Is he talking like just complete redo of the Great Movie Ride?
It sounds like it.
Yeah. See, that scares me, because I agree the Great Movie Ride needs some kind of a refurb, but I don't want it to lose the charm of being a celebration of movies throughout time. I don't want it to be just like all like Marvel characters.
I don't think it would be.
Oh, no, I don't think it's going to do that. I could go for a complete redo, even though I love the ride itself, it needs to go.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's all new scenes, they could still do movies throughout the decades. I mean, they're a lot more than the, 11 they have in there, or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's true. No, and I would agree with that. I just don't want it to be all Frozen.
No, they won't do that.
Great Frozen ride.
I mean, I love the Avengers. You know, they're nice, but I don't want to see the Avengers. I don't want to see, you know, just a ride full of current things. I want it to still be a celebration of classic movies.
Well, if they're going to keep the Hollywood Boulevard theme, I would think they would have to keep it classic Hollywood.
Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine Olaf's journey through the movies? And like, here I am and Singing in the Rain!
Ah. Sounds just like Olaf.
That was my Olaf impression. You're welcome.
Like an elf. You're like an elf.
Okay, Jeremy, you want to give the next news bit?
Also this week, Walt Disney World announced that the Swan and Dolphin Hotel is getting one of the largest makeovers in its history. $125 million redesign project. This will take up all our new design for all 758 rooms in the Swan Hotel and all 1,500 rooms in the Dolphin Hotel. So pretty big news there to spend that much money on a hotel.
It is a lot of money. So is this just room renovations?
That's
or is it specified? Okay.
It would appear it would be just rooms.
Have either of you stayed there?
No, I've been inside several times, but never into a room. I've seen pictures of the rooms.
No, I mean, I've never been in there. Although they're saying that this will include large HD TVs in each room, more power outlets, better beds.
Well, that's what I pay money for is the power outlets when I stay at a hotel.
Yeah, I love power outlets. I need all of them.
Listen,
like 16
you laugh, but I have been in numerous hotel rooms where you cannot find enough outlets to charge the iPad, charge your phone, charge your computer at the same time.
That's true. You got to set your alarm on the other half of the room. So
yeah, your hair straightener.
I got to have my hair dryer, my hair straightener. This doesn't just happen. It takes work.
Yes. No, I haven't been in there. I've seen pictures of the rooms. They look fine enough to me. But if they're just now upgrading to HD TVs in each room, then this is way overdue.
That surprised me, too. I was like, wait, that's not a norm in all of the rooms?
I mean, if the Caribbean Resort, the Caribbean Beach Resort, with all of their awful Nemo decor, has HD TVs, then I would think that everybody should. But alas.
Swan and Dolphin seem so prestigious to me from the outside, you know.
I think it's nice, but I'm the type of person that doesn't go to Disney World for my hotel room. So I know that's very counter-cultural to a lot of people and their vacation mindset. So if I go and they have a, don't have an HD TV, that's okay with me. But yeah. More power to Swan and Dolphin.
Yeah, it's just the same thing's happening at the Yacht and Beach Club just next door. I don't know the money amount or exactly what's happening. I just know it's going to be a 3 or 4 year renovation on both resorts. Are they counted as two? I guess they are two resorts.
Staying at the beach club is that's my dream. Is to one day stay there.
Hey, mine too, but I mean, the rooms, just looking at them online, do look a bit, I mean, in a charming way, a little bit early 90s, because nothing's happened to them since they were open in the early 90s.
You're right, so. Lots of pastels.
Yeah, skylights and pastels, nothing says the 80s
yeah.
like
Yeah, but skylights. I do want to stay there for the location alone. I mean, walk to
and
Epcot.
Dark green carpet.
You just sold me on it, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, pastels. You could just—I'd just spend all day in World Showcase, all day.
Absolutely. Well, once they open at 11.
Yeah. Oh, so can we jump to the Magic Kingdom now? Because this is the most—I mean, you guys might not care about this announcement at all, but this is like this is the top of my list. Is the Little Mermaid is going down for a month. In January, a month, right? In January.
I think so.
For a renovation, and all signs seem to point to bringing in the changes that have already been brought into the same attraction that's at California Adventure.
Yes.
And what this entails is just kind of sprucing up some of the empty spaces. I mean, because like when you enter, your clamshell turns around, you start to descend, it does kind of feel empty. And so they've just added a few, you know, fish here and there, little animated looking fish. The biggest change I think that will help this is a lighting redo, and that will be going away from just regular colored theater lighting, the LED lighting, to complete UV or black lighting, which I think will give it that dark ride, classic dark ride charm that it just misses.
I will say, having seen it in DCA, it is so much better. Because I remember when I rode it the first time in Florida, the queue is spectacular. And then the ride, I remember being so disappointed. Like, looking up, you could see all the spotlights, all the rafters. Like, you felt very much like you were inside a building. And even Pirates of the Caribbean, which is decades old, you can feel like you're outside. It looks like the sky. And I'm like, why couldn't they do that for Under the Sea? I don't get it.
If you want nightmares until the day you die, go on YouTube and look up Japanese theme park Disney rides. I don't know. I think it's called Dreamland or something. Some Japanese theme park rips off every single, like, Disney ride in just the most horrible, horrifying fashion. Well, it's the stuff of nightmares because it's like Disney World if it all just went to hell. And so they have a Little Mermaid attraction on there. And what's so frightening is that Under the Sea scene, as it is at Walt Disney World, reminds me of that awful, nightmarish Japanese under the sea scene. I'm just the ceiling and the walls. It's just so bright. I just feel like I'm in a warehouse, and it's not convincing at all.
Yeah, and it's so unfortunate because the animatronics themselves are really good. It's just the atmosphere around you does not support
them at
all.
And the queue, you're right. The queue is, I mean, it's up there with one of my favorite. Because anytime you put a waterfall on something, I'm there. So I love the waterfall.
It got me at the waterfall.
But the ride, this will help the ride, I think, improve it, I mean, 100% or more.
I rode it when it was still soft opening, and they weren't quite done with all the details yet. And, you know, the final scene there, not the final scene, but the final scene with all the animatronics, where Ariel and Eric are standing there, and King Triton is out of the water, blessing them with his whatever. Well, Triton, apparently they still weren't...
Yeah, it's fork. It's the Triton.
They still weren't done with him. And his hair and his beard were like felt. It looked like a puppet.
Cheap Moses costume.
Yes. And I was like, oh, what is that? And I was like, no. And then I wrote it like a week later, and they had finally put the actual hair on him. And I was like, oh, thank you, because he looked like a cheap puppet that you would buy at like some like really bad Christian bookstore. It was terrible.
Which is all of them.
So when you saw it finished product before the black lights, you were like, this looks amazing compared
to
what I thought.
Especially after the, and that was back when Ariel still had her.
But the California Adventure, it didn't open in its current state. It also had these same changes.
Right. I remember them announcing like a year or so ago that they were putting these changes in.
Yeah, and just looking at the pictures, it already looks 100% better. Yeah. So I'm hoping, I mean, a month-long closing seems enough to repaint and put some new lighting in. So hopefully that's what happens.
Yeah, especially since they've already done it across the country. Like, they know exactly what they have to do.
So. Yeah.
Since it's Halloween, this time for My Disney Experience, we're going to share some spooky stories from our time at the parks.
So frightening.
Yeah, that's my spooky voice.
Isn't it fantastic?
I'll tell you what, buddy, it don't get much better than this.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
So, who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Mine is something that can happen continually, but it happened once, and it was enjoyable and eerie all at the same time. And I think it was on a trip with you guys. It was our trip in 2012, and I wanted to go do extra magic hours at the Magic Kingdom one evening, and you all did not. So I took my time and went through the Polynesian and sat around for a while, and then took the boat over to the Magic Kingdom, just enjoying a night, you know, to myself in the world. And I went over to the Magic Kingdom and was riding everything and giggling like a little schoolgirl on Pirates of the Caribbean. And
that's why we didn't want to go with you that night.
Well, this is where it gets spooky and enjoyable all at the same time, is that by the time I got to the Magic Kingdom, it was about 11:30. So, and the extra magic hours were going till 1. So I got there at 11:30 and was kind of taking my time. I wasn't like in a hurry to do anything, riding anything in particular. I just wanted to be there. And the crowds had already started to go down. So by the time I did Pirates of the Caribbean and Splash Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain, I started walking around Frontierland. And if you've ever been to that part of the park at night at all, it's like almost pitch black. I'm surprised that they haven't gotten in trouble or had to brighten the lights over there, like in Frontierland in general, Splash Mountain, you know, that whole area. It's just those little really dimly lit kerosene lamp looking lights.
Yeah.
And they're flickering, so they're kind of throwing you off because they're flickering a little bit, but they're really dark. And so it's like that all the time. But on this particular night, it was like nobody was there whatsoever. So I walked over to Big Thunder Mountain. I mean, it's like one or two people here and there. But I was walking on that that barge, you know, that runs parallel to the main thoroughfare through Frontierland there. And, yeah, so it was eerie and empty and just spooky, but very enjoyable all at the same time. Because it's one of those times you just can't believe that you're here and you're not being swamped by stinky people.
Yeah.
So it was enjoyable in that respect. But at the same time, when you're somewhere as big as Disney World and there's just nobody around and it's dark, it's a little bit off-putting.
Well, haven't you been there, Matt? I'm thinking back to a trip that you took with some friends where one of the friends lost their keys.
Yeah, that was Ezra. Shout out to Ezra, who probably doesn't listen. Like, he probably doesn't have a computer in his house. he lost his keys, and we weren't Disney Resort guests, and they were kind enough to let us stay through extra magic hours till I think they were going to like 2 o'clock that night. We went 2 o'clock, and then we had to wait an hour more while they swept the rides and cleaned everything. And they were very kind about letting us just sit on a bench on Main Street. And so we were there. Everybody was gone. We probably didn't leave until 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, people had done clean and gone home, and the music was just still going, and Main Street was just completely empty, but still lit up and pretty. So it wasn't too scary, but it was still
once in a lifetime
to be there at like 4 o'clock in the morning with nobody in sight.
Yeah,
that would be kind of eerie to me, in the sense that I think I'm always like, I wish there were no people here. It was just me at the park. But something about Disney, you need people there. Otherwise, it is kind of spooky with
just
that.
And the background music still going.
Yes. And
you know that episode of The Twilight Zone? I don't really remember the name of it, but it's the one where the guy kind of wakes up in the middle of nowhere and he finds this town and there's nobody there.
No.
Okay. It's a great episode of The Twilight Zone. Go look it up. It's on Netflix. Yeah, they're on Netflix.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and there's also a Disney connection.
So. Were you going to explain?
Well, there's nobody there, and it's just, you know, like, he goes into the diner, and, like, the jukebox is playing, and there's, like, coffee and smoking, but nobody's to be seen.
Yeah, so. No, that's creepy.
I'm not going to give the ending away for all of you that
I'll have to look that up.
Cool. It's kind of like that.
Well, my story is not that great either. I mean, yours is really good. Wait, that's what I meant to say.
Either?
No, you said before. Anyway, but no, so... a few years ago, a group of friends, there were six of us, and we decided to ride Snow White's Scary Adventures. May it rest in peace. And they crammed us all in this one car, six adults. We were like clowns in this little Snow White vehicle, whipping.
Clowns, it's already frightening.
Wearing my clown makeup that day, so that's why he said that.
Well, you know those Fantasyland dark rides, like, they kind of cram it in a tight space, so every turn is really sharp and fast. And
yeah.
And so I'm trying to get my camera out to take a picture of this ridiculous scene of us all crammed into this car. And, you know, you turn that first corner, and there's the witch with her back turned towards you, and you see her in the mirror, and she's like this beautiful, fierce queen.
She's
and then
the queen, yeah.
She whips around, and she's the witch. And so I was so focused on my camera that I wasn't really paying attention. And when we got to that part, like, I found my camera, and so I pulled it out, and I look up, and that witch is like 3 inches from my face. And I just let out like this, oh my gosh. Just like really loud.
Had you not ridden it before?
Yes, I had, but like, it just all happened so quickly. It just all happened really, really quickly. And it was right there too. It just startled me.
And I never let him forget that either.
Oh, yeah. The rest of the ride was just laughing at the fact that I got scared on a Snow White ride.
Every time we rode Snow White after that, and even in Disneyland, I was like, okay, are you going to be okay with the witch this time?
Let me just say that wasn't it just called Snow White's Adventures or something, and then they added scary? Did I just make that up?
It was scary. It took scary out. They added scary back in.
Yeah, because children and adults like me need to know what to expect when you get on a ride like that.
I think the version that it was in before it closed with the happy ending, they tried to change the name just to Snow White's Adventure, but they figured after a while it was still pretty scary. So they put scary back in it after all.
Okay. Chasing a rabbit for a second. Jeremy, was that the ride at Disneyland where we just laughed at the end because it was so sudden? Wasn't it Snow White? It was like all these scary things were happening, and then all of a sudden there's like, and it shows them kissing, and like you go out the door. It's like there's sunlight.
Well, see, I mean, you know this, but the Disney, both versions used to end with just the witch trying to turn the rock on you and just dying.
Yeah. Very kind of anticlimactic in a way, because there's no resolve at the end.
Yeah.
In the 50s, people had a taste for subtlety, so you could... You didn't have to have the glorious happy ending. I mean, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, you go to hell for crying out loud.
That is true.
Which is wonderful. Great, but... Yeah. Well, my Disney experience involves something kind of generic, but it's something that sticks out to me as far as being scary, and that is at the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, the Hollywood Tower of Terror, Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, whatever it's called, and...
The Twilight Zone Tower of Terror in the Hollywood of California, USA.
Yeah. But, no, my experience goes to one is a cast member in particular, but it can be applied to several cast members I've had. And that is when they really play the part, particularly in the boiler room. I really appreciate that because so you get a lot of cast members that don't, for one. And then you have those cast members that they don't understand a little bit of that can go a long way. So they just, like, overly do it.
Overdo but, it. Try too hard.
Yes. Every now and then you get a good cast member. And this person that I'm thinking of, I wish I knew your name. I wish I could give you a shout out. I don't remember at all. But I just remember they were really creepy.
Cheryl.
But not over the top. Cheryl. Yes. Cheryl.
She's creepy for a lot of other reasons.
And just played the whole time. Played it up and never really gave in to anything. I mean, it was just a great job overall. And so I appreciate the cast members that do a good job there at the Tower of Terror because it definitely adds to the experience, especially when you're first timers.
A couple weeks ago when I went to meet you for Epcot, I went to Hollywood Studios first and wrote it just once because I didn't get to in August. And very seldomly do you find someone that does something that none of the other bellhops have done before. But this guy did. It wasn't like it was super creepy or super creative, but it was just, you know, it was a nice added touch. As the elevator doors closed, he like smacked his hands on the windowsills. Nobody can see what I'm doing. And then kind of just like scraped them down as you went up.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was pretty creepy.
That is good. I remember one time a cast member...
If he had had red paint on his hands and then smeared it.
Yeah, what just happened to him? Shark!
One cast member was like... As the doors were closing, he was like, oh, yeah, one more thing. You know, and, you know, that's
oh, see, I was going to say that's the one I don't like.
I was going to say, everyone
does like,
that.
Well, you've already put me on the elevator. This isn't believable.
Yeah. See, I fell for it the one time that I saw it. I was like, wait, oh.
What happened?
Well, those were some really spooky Disney experiences.
Yes. Terrifying.
Yeah. All right. Well, our game master, Jeremy, I think, has another game for us.
What'd you call me?
Game master. Separate your consonants. game master.
I was like, what? Okay. All right. Well, our resident game master, Jeremy, I think has another game to humiliate Matthew and me. So let's get to it.
Hey, I wasn't humiliated last time.
That's right. You were the victor. It is time for another game. And this one is all about villains. Now, we're going to have three different rounds with three different games, each round getting a little tougher as we go. And I just want to say, in researching and preparing this game, I was just reminded about how great Disney villains are and how vast they are. You have the very cunning, serious, you know, dangerous villain, and then you have the comical villain who laughs and enjoys, and it's just a great catalog of villains. So shout out to Disney for that. Anywho, the first game is... Villain quotes. Round one, villain quote. Each one that you get right is worth 1 point in this round.
You made that sound so exciting.
One point. You get a sucker.
I will give you the villain quote. You tell me what villain said it. Okay?
Got it.
Ready?
What if I just like shout out the movie name because I can't remember the villain's name?
Then that would be incorrect. You have to name the villain.
I would win again.
Okay. Here we go. You only get one guess. First person to get it right gets the point. First one. It's not right for a woman to read. Soon she starts getting ideas and thinking.
Gaston.
Correct. Gaston is correct.
Wowzer.
1 point for Derek. Okay. And by the way, I will try to do some impressions of the villain.
That's the only reason I got that is because of the inflection in your Gaston voice.
I thought so. I'm surrounded by idiots.
Scar.
Scar?
Scar is correct. Point for Derek. Good.
Hey, I said Scar, enough. Too.
I said
well,
it first.
Well, it's the first one to get it.
I'm pretty sure we said it at the same time.
We'll have to go back and listen to the recording on that one.
I'm pretty sure you
must
did.
Have the intranet delay.
And don't underestimate the importance
Ursula.
Of
Ursula.
Body language. Yes, that's correct, Matt. Good job. Ursula's my favorite, by the way.
Why don't you go rip me off again?
Ready? Next one. Save the drama. Stay with
Mother Gothel.
Mother Gothel is correct.
I would never have remembered her name.
That's a
great villain song. Underrated villain song. Hmm.
Very true. Anita, darling.
Cruella DeVille.
Matthew got it. Cruella DeVille. All right. That's the end of round one. At this point, Matt has three. Derek has two. Moving on to round two, where all the points are now worth dose. This round is called Henchmen, Minions, and Sidekicks. What is a good villain without a sidekick or henchman or a minion? So I'm going to give you the name of their...
Can't say minion.
Why?
That's trademarked.
It's Despicable Me. Minion registered. You have to put the little R beside it.
I jest. It's just the word.
Well, I will give you a couple of sidekicks, villain sidekicks. You tell me the villain that they're associated with.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Here's the first one. Pain and Panic.
Hades.
Ooh, that was a tie.
I so said it first.
I think we do have a delay because I heard it like 2 seconds before I heard Matthew say it.
Okay, you can give us both points.
I heard it at the same time, so okay. I'm giving you both.
You want to, whatever, we'll let the umpire call it as he hears it.
The recording, for the record, will show differently, but don't believe what it shows.
Was that a sports reference, Matt?
Yes, I believe it was. Dealing with basketball, I believe.
The next one.
What'd you say?
Umpire.
Wiggins and Percy. I'll give you a hint. Okay. Wiggins is a person. Percy is an animal.
I'm thinking about that stupid dog on the Black Cauldron. But that's not...
No.
Up.
I need the villain, not the movie. No. Okay, I'll give you another hint. Are you ready?
I already took my one guess.
I'll let you guess again.
Okay.
Got two guesses.
This villain is featured prominently in Fantasmic.
Sleeping Beauty?
Malefic? Captain Fat Man.
Ratcliffe.
Ratcliffe is correct. 2 points for Matt.
Yay.
By the way, another underrated villain song is Mine, Mine, Mine from Pocahontas.
I think it's rated just like it should be.
No, that's a great song.
The whole movie should die.
And take the colors of the wind with it.
Amen.
This one's kind of hard. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, gosh.
Molt.
Hopper.
Very good, Matt. Excellent. I thought that one was difficult.
Holy cow.
Molt, because he's the guy, and I just know it because he's voiced by that guy that's the mayor on Gotham.
Oh.
In Gotham, yes.
Yeah. I don't know his name.
Dreyfus something?
I like your voice. All right. Fidget.
Fidget.
I know this.
I don't.
I'm very disappointed that one of you is not getting this currently.
Fidget. Sounds like a curse word.
I got this movie for one of you for your birthday a few years ago.
Oh. I don't know the Great Mouse Detective villain's name.
Radigan.
I was going to say it just now.
Well, I gave it away.
But I would still get it if I said the name of the villain.
I thought that was like your favorite movie.
Actually, I was gonna say like Rat Fink. So
Rat Finks.
Rat Fink. I don't know. That's what I was going to say.
That's in the sequel.
Yeah.
It wasn't my favorite. We owned it, so I watched it.
Well, no points for anyone. Last one in this round. Sour Bill.
Oh.
I'll accept two answers on this one, by the way.
Oh, then never mind. I was thinking Wreck-It Ralph. King Candy. King
Candy is correct. Oh. Good job.
Oh my gosh, I just made up that name.
King Candy, I also would have accepted Turbo, because King Candy is Turbo. Indeed. And these points are worth three when you get them right.
Oh my goodness.
I will give you a villain, and you have to tell me how they met their demise.
Okay. Right? These are Disney movies, so there's like one answer. Go ahead.
Broken Heart.
The first one is easy. We'll start easy. Maleficent.
She turns into a dragon and is stabbed in the heart by Prince Philip's sword.
That is correct. 3 points for Matthew. Stabbed in the heart. See,
I was okay. On it.
Bonus points if you can tell me what happens to her raven Diablo.
Burst into flames.
He just gets blown up by the fairy, right?
No, he's turned to stone by the fairy. Okay, next.
That's right.
Dr. Facilier.
I like he burst into flames, though. That's
Thank you.
Good. Dr. Facilier.
From The Princess and the Frog.
He gets trapped in the lamp.
He gets taken into the other side by the people.
Matt is
from the other side.
He gets sucked into the other side.
That's a great movie.
It is.
Very underrated as well.
That's great music, and that's a great villain. Mm-hmm. A plus is across the board.
Sean Yu from Mulan.
Fireworks.
Good. Yeah. Death by a fireworks explosion.
Death by firework. You die death by firework.
And we cross.
Time for you to go. You go now. You pay now.
Okay.
Oh, we just crossed so many lines on this podcast.
Syndrome from The Incredibles.
Oh, doesn't he syndrome himself?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't remember. Jack Attack. He's holding Jack Attack when Jack Attack blows up or catches on fire.
No, that's a good guess, but no. Mm. He is sucked into a jet engine, causing an explosion.
Yeah, because of Jack Attack. Remember?
Disney movies, they're violent.
And then this last one, which I think is the most violent and morbid of all Disney deaths, personally. Clayton from Tarzan.
Isn't he torn apart by gorillas?
No.
I don't know.
But that got a lot more vulgar and vicious than I thought.
Does someone shoot him with his rifle? No. I don't remember.
Suffocate?
No. He falls from the tree him and Tarzan are falling, but vines get wrapped around his neck and he hangs to death.
Oh.
And it's really creepy because they fall. You see the fall, but you don't actually see what happens. But what happens then is Tarzan hits the ground. You see Tarzan land and you see like the gun land and then the lightning booms and you see the shadow of him hanging from the tree in the background. Very vicious and very gruesome for a Disney film.
That's terrible.
Anywho, well, that concludes our game. Our final score, Derek got 9 correct, 9 points, and Matthew has 15. Another victory for Matthew.
Yes.
I will win one of these times.
My personal favorite death is Scar's, and he does get torn apart by hyenas.
Hyenas, yes.
Yeah. Through shadows, though. It's only shadows. It's very Hitchcock.
Ooh. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking all things Halloween at the park. So stay tuned.
That is a mess.
Be sure to bring your death certificate if you decide to join us.
All right, welcome back. We're going to talk about the 5 things you can't miss during Halloween time at the parks. The 3 of us have been several times during Halloween. I think it's personally my favorite time to go is in the fall. I guess I can't speak for these guys.
I love Christmas, but Halloween's a close second.
Okay. I like the low crowds, the temperatures, everything about it. So we're just going to go ahead and get this list started. And number 5, because we needed a number 5, so basically this is just kind of a filler, but it is the merchandise at Halloween time. So do you guys have any favorite things this time of year to purchase? Yeah, me neither. Well, we should mention that we've talked about it, but that new Haunted Mansion store they just opened, that's very appropriate.
All of that stuff is very cool, especially if you're a Haunted Mansion fan. But they released a lot of that stuff also when they opened the centerpiece part of the co-op store at Marketplace.
Yeah,
Marketplace
in downtown Disney.
So they have that continuing Haunted Mansion merchandise all year long, but it's very Halloween-y.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff, though, that is specifically Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party and year-specific, I find to just be so ugly and tacky, so tacky, trashy, gaudy. That says a lot coming from me.
You are right.
That this is true. I was going to say it, but you have said it.
They have a lot of pumpkin-shaped things. Like, I noticed coffee mugs and big buckets to put candy in and picture frames. Like, everything's orange and pumpkin-y.
I went Friday to the marketplace with my wife. We were going to eat dinner and just walk around. So I took some pictures of some of the merchandise at the World of Disney. Everything's very purple. Purple is like bright purple, bright green, and bright orange. And I know those are very Halloween-y colors, but... And I guess you don't expect too dark of a Halloween at Disney World, but everything's just kind of bright and kid-like. And I also found some really stale, awful-looking Rice Krispie treats that they were selling for $5.
What were they shaped like?
Like pumpkins.
Of course.
With, like, orange icing on it. They're all dried out and cracked. And I looked, it's like $4.95. Like, you gotta be kidding me.
The t-shirts I've seen are so tacky. Just, like, filled with every character in a Halloween costume you can imagine. And
yeah.
That's bad.
Not my favorite. No good merchandise for Halloween. Now, the Haunted Mansion stuff and the Nightmare Before Christmas stuff, you know, if you're into spooky stuff and gothic-y kind of stuff, that's all cool. But that's available year-round. It's not specifically Halloween.
Yeah. Well, all this pumpkin talk brings us to number 4, because there's lots of pumpkins when you talk about treats during Halloween time as well. Mm-hmm. Everything nowadays, anywhere in the world, but even Disney World, is pumpkin spice this and pumpkin spice that, like pumpkin cheesecake. And they have this I would eat, a spiced pumpkin waffle sundae. That I would tear down.
That does sound delicious.
Yeah.
But people have gone crazy with it, where you're getting pumpkin pie Pop-Tarts, and ooh. I'm surprised there's not pumpkin spice potato chips, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
You have cappuccino flavored potato chips, so why not pumpkin spice? You know, a little folly with your sandwich.
There you go. In Disneyland, Jeremy and I tried the pumpkin beignets in Cafe Orleans, and they're really good. It's just powdered sugar is the worst thing ever. Like, you open the bag, and Jeremy said, "Oh man, they're still steaming." And I was like, "That's not steam. It was going everywhere."
You have to know Derek's personality as well, that he is very clean and OCD. And so he didn't want to eat these pumpkin beignets right when he got them. So he was like, "Can I have a bag?" So the guy dumped them in the bag, but he put the beignets in the bag. And then the guy took like a scoop of powdered sugar and like dumped it right on top of
them. He had to have.
And it got all over the backpack. And you cannot cleanly eat.
No. The one I ate was delicious, but it was just too messy for me to eat the other two. So
I don't think you enjoyed it as much because of the mess it made. I really
Maybe
feel
so,
like.
But the taste itself was really good.
Because we were in line for Space Mountain at the time, and he was trying to eat it and trying to clean the backpack. And that was like his low point of the trip, was the meltdown he was having over the powdered
okay,
sugar.
Okay, meltdown is a strong word, but it did get over everything. And you assured me that it wouldn't spill in my backpack, but I know how paper sacks work.
I felt like in the bag it wouldn't have got everywhere. And so he was like concerned. I was like, "No, it'll be fine." Well, it wasn't fine.
Yeah. And you know, powdered sugar, it doesn't just like wipe off when you kind of scrape it with your hand. It just, exactly. But anyway, besides pumpkin, there's also lots of candy corn stuff I noticed. Candy corn ice cream, candy corn cotton candy.
I haven't tried any of it, but all the reports I've seen online say it's not very candy cornish in flavor. Yeah. It's all kind of vanilla, more vanilla.
Well, that's what candy corn tastes like. It's just vanilla flavoring and sugar.
I love candy corn.
It's not really got its specific taste.
Yeah, I don't
taste.
Like candy cane.
Candy corn. Wrong holiday.
My favorite was on the Disney Parks blog. They said, "Stop by the Plaza Ice Cream Parlor for a creepy ice cream cookie sandwich." It is straight up just a cookie ice cream sandwich, and the cookies have orange and black sprinkles. So creepy.
Woo! So creepy. Well, this is not... This is kind of blend of merchandise and popcorn food, rather. But I like the popcorn containers. Now, I don't know what to do with a popcorn container after you eat popcorn out of them, so I don't purchase them. But the zero popcorn container is really fun.
Yeah. The dog from Nightmare Before Christmas.
I like it.
You make them some good candy containers for Halloween time.
Oh, that is true. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any, but you would enjoy that. I know. I saw it.
Yeah. Oh.
Some of my favorite stuff is, again, year-round stuff that you can get at the, I think it's called Big Top Souvenirs.
Yes. In Storybook Circus.
Storybook Circus. Oh, I could go on about how much I love that area. It's just
me too.
Nice and clean, and
my
the lighting.
Favorite in the whole park.
I enjoy
for theming. For really, I could sit there all day. I love Storybook Circus.
Okay, that's your favorite. That's great. But the food and the Big Top Souvenirs is circus-like, but because it's circus-like, it also is very fall-y. It reminds me of like fall festivals with cotton candy. And
it is the only place besides Epcot where you can get freshly made caramel corn popcorn.
For real. Yeah. And that's very fall-y and very baseball-y, but still.
You know. Circus-y.
Fall-y. I know this is a topic for another time, but I feel insulted. Tell me another part, just theming-wise, that is better than Storybook Circus.
Adventureland.
All right, you got me there.
Adventureland,
okay,
Frontierland. No, I'm not degrading it by saying those things. I'm just saying it's your favorite. That's terrific.
Well, Adventureland is a close second. I don't think Frontierland is better themed than Storybook Circus, though.
I really like it. I really do, especially the train station and the circus music they got
just
piping
the music.
Through.
Even, you know, the ground with the peanuts and the animal prints.
Yeah, it's superb. That's my point. It's terrific.
Yeah, I could just stay there for hours.
It's not the best. Okay. But to each his own.
To each his own.
Okay. Time I go, I have to get a candy apple. Not a caramel apple. Not caramel apples. I like those, but candy apple. I love the red candy coating. Yes.
I was just about to say, how have we talked about treats and not... I mean, you can't escape those during Halloween time at the parks. They've got 20 different characters. Like, I don't even know how you eat one of those things.
See, I don't try.
Candy apple?
The apple cannot be that big. When you buy it, it's like three times the size because of all the crap they've thrown on it.
He's talking about the caramel apples that are decorated to be like characters.
Yeah, like
I don't like.
Matt's talking about candied apples
with the red cherry coating on it.
Oh, so that's all they put on it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I love those. I like the taste of caramel apples, but I don't like them because they're so messy and they get in your teeth. And
yeah. Well, do you know what I'm talking about? They have a whole line of different characters, and they like Mike Wazowski, I remember, and like they always have a skeleton for Nightmare Before Christmas.
They have an Olaf one, believe it or not.
I believe it.
I believe that.
Yeah. He's appropriately got a stick through his head.
I think they're just too big, like you said, Matt. And I get diabetes just looking at them.
Seriously.
They're so large.
No, candy apples are delicious. You need to try one of those. The crunchiness and the cherryness with the appleness is delicious.
It's not sticky? The outside substance isn't sticky?
It's candy. It's sticky, but it's not like the caramel where it's chewy.
Is it going to rip my
hard candy?
Is it going to rip my fillings out of my teeth?
I don't know. Probably.
Because I have sensitive teeth.
But good candy does that.
That's true, yeah. Well, next time I go, I'm definitely trying the spiced pumpkin waffle sundae. That sounds the best to me.
Does that mean that the cone is a waffle with carrot with pumpkin spice?
No, it's like an actual pumpkin spice waffle cut into fourths, and then they just kind of stack the fourths on top of each other on a plate, and then they put the scoop of ice cream on top.
Where is this?
It's at Sleepy Hollow, that walk-up window in Liberty Square where all the waffle sandwiches are.
Because of the Headless Horseman, this applies because it's Sleepy Hollow. The spicy chicken waffle there with the
arugula
slaw. Yeah. When I ate it, it surprised me. But since I've had that, I've wanted another one.
Really?
And right now, my mouth is kind of watering for one. I enjoyed it.
I like the concept a lot. I didn't think they executed it quite as well as they could have. But
no, it was definitely different than I expected, but still enjoyable.
Yeah. I love waffles and chicken. Anyway, okay, so number five, we got merchandise. Number four, we got treats. Number three thing you can't miss during Halloween time is, of course, attractions that lend themselves well to Halloween. And, of course, I'm talking about mainly Haunted Mansion and Tower of Terror. But did you guys have any others?
I think Disney has done a good job at kind of making this part of it and including pirates and princesses into the whole Halloween thing. Cause costumes. Little boys want to be pirates. Little girls want to be princesses. So I find Pirates of the Caribbean to be always appropriate, but infinitely appropriate at Halloween time as well.
I agree.
This ride is not specific for Halloween. However, it is scary in a sense, and it makes my heart race when I ride it, and that is Dinosaur. I always find Dinosaur to be kind of that scary, and I think it's just the noise level in there and the darkness and the narration of the "we gotta hurry" and you're like "ah!" Mm-hmm. And so if you're at Animal Kingdom, that's a good Halloween scary, I don't know, maybe not Halloween, but definitely get your heart racing.
Yeah, well, another one I thought of was Fantasmic. You know, it's all about Mickey's dreams and nightmares and all that, and they're trying to, you know, put nightmares into his dreams, and you've got lots of villains in that
very
show.
Villain-centered.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get any better than the Haunted Mansion. Just perfect, creepy, right amount of spookiness, but still fun Disney attraction.
Absolutely.
Now, during the Halloween party, I don't remember this, but I read online that Madame Carlotta, what's her name? Anyway, her...
Madame Leota?
No. These are, I guess, fake characters. They call them Madame Carlotta and Madame Renata. Anyway, it says these two...
Oh, the live entertainment outside.
Yeah, they sit on the lawn.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but apparently they sit on a bench out in the lawn and entertain guests in line.
No, I've never seen that either.
Yeah, but that's kind of cool. I mean, it makes sense to add something as easy as that during the party to make it a little bit spookier.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. That's the ultimate Halloween ride. Okay, number two, things you can't miss, the decorations. And you really can't miss them because they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
I love the themed carved pumpkins on Main Street. How, you know, you have the different ones that are carved specifically for their locations. Like there's the baseball ones outside of Casey's. And I can't think of any more off the top of my head right now. I should have researched this a little more. But anyways, they're fun to look at. And, you
but there are carved pumpkins all up and down Main Street, themed or not. And they're all-
there are 190. I read that too. There are 190 wow. just on Main Street on the windowsills and balconies.
Wow.
I really like the ones as you leave that say, see you real soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Above that's the thing. Like each and every tunnels. One is different from the others. Yep. So they've got characters. It's really cool. Yeah.
Another great thing on Main Street I noticed when I was waiting for the parade one year at Mickey's Not So Scary, they have a lot of great projections on Main Street as well, as far as like just ghost lighting and spooky looking lighting and the colored lighting in the windows that kind of shake looking like lightning. It's just yeah. a nice little added touch, something that maybe you don't notice unless you're sitting there and looking
yeah.
at it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where the decor stinks for fall, and that is at the Contemporary Resort. And the only reason I know that is because when we went to the marketplace this past Friday, my wife and I, Jessica, we went to get some dessert at the Contemporary. And we stopped down on the ground floor next to the Wave. And two things. They had a dry erase board set up in that hallway with like breakfast specials. And I thought, that's odd. Why is there a dry erase? Like you're at another Denny's thing. And then, like, you know how the entrance to the Wave is that big circular blue lit metallic looking thing? They had like fake like Michael's fall leaves sticking out of the holes. And I was like, it was like a cheap like fellowship meal at a church.
That's what I was thinking.
With the like pumpkins just laying around, I just thought this is the Wave at the Contemporary. Somebody needs to come down here and take all this out.
Yeah. It's Cheryl. But, she got promoted to decorating.
Well, she sweat all over everything.
She went down and loaded her buggy up at the Michaels and got everything she needed.
No, it really is awful. Look for pictures. That being said, the decor at the parks, at least the Magic Kingdom, is superb.
It's wonderful. They got the big pumpkins before you even go inside. Like big, big pumpkins. They've got the scarecrows all the way around the flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like a baseball player and like a marching band. What's the guy who leads the marching band?
Yeah, those are great.
Drum major.
Drum major.
Yeah.
And the lady with the caramel apple.
Caramel apple.
Yeah.
She has a special place in our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And then around the partner statue too, they're like busts. You know what I'm talking about? Like they have Pluto.
Oh, they changed them out for Halloween, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's normally, you know, just the Fab Five. I guess it's all five of them.
No, because they also have Dumbo and things like that. So it's just like iconic characters.
Yeah, they changed them out for
But they switch them out for the Halloween party.
Yeah, yeah.
They're for Halloween time.
Got a nice little Halloween touch to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. All right. Drum roll, please. I'll do it for myself. No, that was good. I don't need to do it. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Now, this is an extra charge. I forget how much it is. $70-ish, maybe?
It can get you between $65 and $75.
Okay. But they kind of run them most weekends, all of October and like half of September nowadays.
Well, it's not even the weekends. It's usually like Sunday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night.
Oh, okay.
Friday night.
But Jeremy and I have been twice and Matthew once. And I think it is wonderful and 100% worth the money.
Well, I've been more than twice, but twice with you. And every year I love going. It's one of my favorite things. To me, the fireworks and the parade alone are worth the price of admission. Yeah, if you want to see great parades, the Halloween parade and the Christmas parade are the best.
There you go. I haven't seen the Christmas parade, but the Halloween parade I think is my favorite of any Disney parade I've seen.
I think my favorite part is the Haunted Mansion section.
Yes.
Where you have the hitchhiking ghosts, you have the bride, but you also have the gravediggers. Uh-huh. And they with the shovels, and they spark on the ground, and it always scares everybody.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah. Very nice. Well, and it kicks off with the Headless Horseman.
The Headless Horseman is great. By the way, if you want to see – well, I don't want to use the word funny because it's not funny, but
no.
If you want to see some interesting videos – YouTube the Headless Horseman falling because he used to gallop really fast, like through the streets. Like
say that what he used to do?
Gallop.
Okay. They said gallop.
Gallop. Gallop. Gallop. Gallop.
He used to gallop really fast.
Say that again.
It's all right.
He used to ride really fast through the streets, through the parade route, and so fast that really you didn't have time even to get your camera out if you didn't know he was coming, because he's just like, there he is, oh, and then he's gone. But apparently the horse doesn't really have good traction on those streets, and he has taken quite a few spills.
Yeah, usually when it's wet.
So from what I understand now, he rides a lot slower through the streets when he goes, so there's a little more time, which kind of takes away from it in a sense of, I don't think the Headless Horseman is supposed to be like a slow-moving character. You're supposed to kind of just be like, there he is, and he's gone, and it was scary. But, you know, safety first kind of a thing.
He's gotten a little more vain in his years there.
Yeah, he's like, check me out.
Take pictures of me.
Yeah, he rides up. They're playing Horse with No Name or something.
When we went 2 years ago, I didn't get to see him because it had rained, remember? And they weren't running him, and I was really upset. And then they had the stupid hip-hop thing come out. And
the Creeper Crew, shoot me
in the
face.
It's the worst.
That is, to me, is the lowest common denominator of Disney fan. If you enjoy the Creeper Crew, you are exactly the reason why the Maelstrom is not there.
Probably also like the hat.
And you are mourning the hat, exactly.
Yeah, dance parties, yeah. Okay, so you've got the parade and the fireworks. Also,
we didn't, the fireworks. We
yeah,
talk
go
about
for
them.
It. Talk about those.
Well, I watched them with you guys. Obviously, I love the soundtrack for them. It also features the, I always get this word wrong. Is it supposed to be perimeter?
Yeah.
Perimeter fireworks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to say parameter. What is parameter?
Oh, they're very similar. I guess
perimeter.
Really the difference.
Parameter means like more boundary, doesn't it?
They go all around the park, these fireworks.
Yeah, they're great.
At the very end.
They everywhere. You just turn around. They there.
We stopped and we went up to the observation deck of the Contemporary Friday Night and watched them from there. And they were quite impressive. And what was great is that everybody around us, I think, just thought that it was regular old Wishes. And they were just watching them from up there. And at the end, they shoot those off all around the park. And it's impressive even without the, you know, being in the park, just seeing them all go up.
Do they play the Hollow Wishes theme up there
as
well?
They did not where we were. We were on that fourth floor, just the regular floor observation. We didn't go up to the California Grill thing. I think they probably do play it up there.
Okay. I was going to say, if they were playing the music, surely people would know it wasn't Wishes.
No, they weren't playing the music. We were just sitting there on it's like seats right below the monorail track. There are some chairs there that look over the park.
Nice.
And we got there early enough to have some seats, and it was very enjoyable. Still good, even without the music.
And if you enjoy villains, you'll enjoy Hollow Wishes, because it has a nice blend of lots of different villain songs and narration.
Nightmare Before Christmas is there.
Which is great. I just actually rewatched it again this year. I try to watch it every year.
I'm sure it'll be on ABC Family every night for the next week. So
because it's Halloween and Christmas. So
yeah.
You could... Twice. In between the Harry Potter marathons there on ABC.
And there's an Easter cameo in there. We could probably work it into Easter. That creepy Easter bunny.
Well, besides in Hollow Wishes, villains are also in the stage show Villains Mix and Mingle, which is also great. Lots of fun.
I love the show. The first time I saw it, it's a little weird because I didn't know quite what to expect. And when the Queen of Hearts comes out and does her little dance, it's kind of like... What is going on?
Yeah, dirty dancing. Like, what's happening?
Like, because the song is like off with her head, and she does like this head roll thing the whole time.
Yeah,
you're like, oh Lord, Exorcist. She's gonna lose it. But but it's fun. You know, it's a fun show.
Yeah, I like it.
And nowadays, first of all, Disney is absolutely pure evil, according to some people. Genius for. First of all, you get people that pay a full day to be in the park from 9, and then they close at 7. And that makes people think that they got a full day in the park, because they close at 7 on some of their off-season anyway. So they have a full day, regular price, guests to get to go in. On top of that, we're going to charge $60 to $75 to come to this extra thing. And then this year, they released the, I don't even know what it's called, the villains thing.
Villains Sinister Soiree.
You pay like $100 to go to this thing. So, I think somebody had tweeted once again. I don't know who you are. If it's you, let us know. That only Disney could hard ticket event and actually charge more for the small event.
That's exactly what they did.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But you know, I saw the reviews of that because I didn't go because I'd be pulled.
They're not good reviews.
No, I saw like 80% enjoyed, and only like 20% complained. And they said if you want to meet characters, if you want to be around the villain characters and things and have the good parade spot, they said it wasn't the best spot for viewing the fireworks. Because if you get too close to the castle, you know, you have a hard time seeing behind the castle, and that's where the majority of the fireworks takes place.
I thought it was up in Cinderella's royal table.
That's where the dessert party is.
Oh, okay, okay.
But then you get to come out and see the fireworks.
Yeah, okay. And you have the parade viewing there. But anywho, I it's not worth it to me to spend an extra $100. No. But if you really want to meet villains and get your picture with villains and have a little bit
that
of food...
Means- that if you had a family of four and you are, let's say you're on a Disney vacation, you also do the Halloween party and everybody goes to the Sinister Soiree, you've basically, you spend for the Halloween party and the Sinister Soiree basically 50% of what you spend on your vacation.
Seriously.
Well, here's what you got to do. If you're going to the parks, if you're going to be on vacation, you're planning on going to one of these events, take the day to spend at the pool, to relax, and then... buy the Halloween party ticket, you can get in the park at 4 p.m., even though the party doesn't technically start till 7 p.m. So you get in at 4, the party goes till midnight, and I have been there at midnight getting in line for Space Mountain right as they are closing the party down. So they don't, you know, you can stay and be in there till 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So then you almost get a full day's worth at the Magic Kingdom, which is usually
for
$100
bucks.
For 70 bucks. So it's not a bad deal that way.
Plus, you come back to your hotel room with a bag full of candy.
Yes, let's not forget the candy.
Yeah, there are candy trails all over.
And they
and
had
it's
some
good candy.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've had good candy recently. I've enjoyed
now,
it.
Here's something that was disappointing. I love fruit snacks. I love fruit snacks. I'll eat them and fruit roll-ups and things like Gushers and things. Can I say a brand name?
Sure.
Things like that. But those are not candy, Disney. And so do not pass those off as candy. I will not accept fruit chews as candy. Now, one thing we got 2 years ago when we went, and I don't know if they had been released widely yet, but what they were giving out at the Pinocchio Village house, the caramel apple Werther's.
Yes, I had that written
those
down.
Those were so delicious.
They so did not good. Have those this year. I saw disappointment on social media.
Well,
over
I think
the fact
they were new,
have.
And they were just kind of serving as like a advertising for them.
Yes, that was the first and last
they were
time
good.
I had those, and man, they are good. Yeah, they have a lot of the, what's the off-brand, Candy Chew or Choco Chew or something like that. Anyway,
like roll
it's called like Chocolate Chew or something, but it's a basically just a chocolate bar.
Oh, well, I don't know
anyway,
about that.
They have lots of those, but they do have some good name brand stuff, too.
But the best part is, if you are just a fat guy that wants to enjoy candy, you can literally spend the whole 5 hours of the party just going to candy stations and filling up bags of candy. Yeah.
And there's no shame in being an adult and opening your bag for some candy.
No even if you're not in costume.
Mm-mm.
Oh, speaking of costumes, you can come in costumes. But one thing I like is that all the characters you meet are dressed up in costume, too, which is really cool. Or at least most of them are.
I think the cutest thing is the Winnie the Pooh characters in the parade in their costumes, especially Eeyore. If you just Google that, you will not be disappointed. They are adorable. Except I think they changed them this year for the parade, but they still meet and greet in their costumes.
I see.
It's adorable.
Is this the one you can meet Snow? You can meet the seven dwarves over near Splash Mountain too, right?
All seven together.
Oh, they're not in costume.
No. They're just in their dwarf costume. Not all of them are. You're right. Not all of them are. But some of them are.
But your main Fab Five, you know, characters are going to be in decor.
Yeah.
And the Winnie the Pooh characters are in decor. Something that happened to us 1 year, and I think it was with you and Derek and David when we went, and that was in Adventureland, they had a smoke machine that was working overtime because it was extremely smoky and not a lot of people there. So it was really eerie. And the smoke was like on the ground because it was really humid that day. And Captain Hook and Smee were just kind of hanging out in Adventureland in front of pirates, walking around, and no line to meet them. They were just kind of hanging out, and we tried to get a picture, but the smoke was so thick, the picture really didn't turn out well.
Yeah, it was really thick, but I kind of love that. You mentioned it earlier, Matt, but I love that about the party. Like, they completely changed the music, so it's kind of like Disney spooky. Like, not spooky, but Disney spooky. And then the fog and all the lights kind of come down. And they really do what they can to make you feel like you got your money's worth. I'll give that to them.
And they have the special lighting on, like, the bigger attractions. Like, I think they had, like, on Big Thunder Mountain, they had cast, like, like spider webs and some things on it. Yeah. And to be honest with you, what they do on Space Mountain, at least what I saw the other night that they did, they had just like some colored lighting on it, like blue, purple, and green, and it would change. Like they could just, if they could keep Space Mountain like that all the time, and it would be nice instead of just the stark white that it always is.
They even changed like the music colors in Frontierland, which this is so minute and small, but I loved it. We were walking in Frontierland during the party one year, and they were playing Little Patch of Heaven from Home on the Range.
Home on the Range.
And I was like, song is so great right
here,
right
now. Yeah, that
was
with us, and I said that. Yeah, and they also played like Ghost Rider in the Sky and things like that, which is appropriate. That's always good. Nice. And then back to the Haunted Mansion, it's just kind of extra like overtime fog and lighting at the Haunted Mansion. It's really nice.
Yeah. So, two thumbs up to the Not So Scary Party.
Yes. If I had more thumbs, I would give them.
It's definitely worth the expense to me. If you're going to go, enjoy it. Dress up, have fun, be crazy.
Get candy.
Get candy.
Good parade, good fireworks, good music, good everything.
I agree. Well, on that note, I think I'm going to wrap it up here. But before we go, we do have one more special treat for you. When Jeremy and I were in Disneyland a month ago, the Dapper Dans, who sing on Main Street USA, were in their Halloween uniforms, and they were doing villain-only songs. So I recorded them singing Cruella de Vil. So here is that very rough recording for you to enjoy. Thanks for listening to our very spooky edition of the Mad Chatters podcast. Be sure to tune in next week. Be sure to go over to Twitter us and
go Twitter us. Yeah.
Be sure to go over to Twitter and follow us. We are at @mad_chatters. Like us on Facebook. Be sure to visit our website, madchatters.net. If you have any comments, questions, ideas for a future podcast, email those to comments@madchatters.net. What else? That it? Oh, be sure to review us on iTunes.
It's time to say goodbye, and a ghost will follow you home.
Very clever.